afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
And that's why you see those beautiful tears of a man whose heart is bursting.
Enrique
Casillas. Will you stop talking about tennis players and stupid Hollywood actors, Phil? It's the gladiators out there, man. Not tennis players. Tom Cruise. A brick. If he smelt a soccer jockstrap, he'd be dead away.
Off to the far side. It's knocked, and a throw-in for Real.
Talking to gladiators.
Reyes picked up.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning.
We're the Toucher and Rich radio program.
Love Ray Hudson, but I'm not buying that Tom Cruise is going to pass out if he smells it. Jockstrap of a soccer player.
Why is that?
He'd probably be all about it.
He probably would be like, this is not unpleasant. Say that, you know, these guys are running around. This is a little bit of a souvenir.
I'm kind of enjoying this.
Yeah. Perhaps they could do, if Ray Hudson was at the games, perhaps they could do an experiment. They could climb into the crowd with, like, Ronaldo's jockstrap and say, hey.
And just see whether or not he cracks a smile.
Yeah.
It's like the Make Me Laugh game you played when you were a kid.
Or if he passes out with, like, a smile on his face and his eyes rolling back
when
his
he winks,
head.
Hey.
Or if he, if he's disgusted by it.
It's a shame. How much of the World Cup have you watched?
That I've paid attention to?
Yeah. Like, other than, of course, what's on in the background, like, we're here
none.
In the studio. Yeah, none. And it's not that I don't want to. It's just that, I mean, there's no real storylines that I care about right now. I mean, there's no, since America, USA's not in it, so there's not like anybody around me who's got kids who play soccer who want to see it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not on at all. And I guess the ratings from last time are half of what they were, but they're still enormous. And I saw something last night that the biggest ratings are between the ages of 18 and 29. Like, there's a huge, like, college age and older demographic that loves watching the World Cup. And I don't, other than that, outside of that demo, I don't think it's doing very well at
all.
Not
in my house. My kids love it. My kids watch a lot of it.
Is it on constantly?
Yes.
Once again,
my kids are fat. I mean, one of my kids really likes to play soccer. So he has it on and his brother watches with him. So, I mean, it's on in my house all
but do,
the time.
But do they have, like, a team? Like, is that, like, it's one thing just to have the game on, but is there anybody they're rooting for?
Well, before the tournament started, because they were interested, they asked me who the best players in the world were, and I told them Messi, Ronaldo, and Neymar were the three, and so they're interested in the teams that they play for.
Dan's shaking his head, like, you don't know what you're talking
about. Okay, feel free to correct me.
Dan's
who are better?
Harry Kane, baby, come on.
Oh, Kane, England. In England,
how many goals did he score yesterday?
I don't know how many to get.
Three,
yeah. England is also a good story because England is exactly like the Red Sox before 2004. Loads of potential, and they'd always find a way to choke in the end. So, I mean, this is one of the things where they won 6-1 yesterday, and all the English soccer fans are really excited, but they also have a feeling that, okay, they're going to figure out a way to blow it.
Okay, this whole thing is so far off my grid. How much longer do they have to go? Like,
the final game of every team's first round match begins today. They each play three matches in the first round.
Right.
There are eight groups of four. The top two teams in each group move on.
I understand that. Okay, so that's today.
Starts. Okay. Yes, the final match for every team.
When's
today.
It done? Like when's
middle of next month?
July 14th. Okay, maybe during that week off, it'll be like the fish tank in my house or something like that. I don't know.
All I know is it's under my house every
I'm
day.
Not knocking it. I'm finding very little that I can grasp onto that's an interesting story that
sure.
would make me want to watch.
Sure.
That's it. But the ratings are, as I said, it was strange because it's half what it was last time, but it's like the younger demo is eating it up.
Yes.
18 to 29 is massive in World Cup right now. And I remember, when I was in college, like, that was on all the time. Like, it was in 94, I think, was that the year World Cup? That was the one that...
They hosted.
Yeah,
the
they
US hosted it.
The US hosted it. And it was massive. It was always on wherever you went then. But you're right, the new you know, the new generation, they're all about the soccer, which I once again, I can't grasp it.
Congratulations.
Right,
you're all less men. You're all less of men.
Okay.
I saw some Iranian game, and it was on in the background, and they had 6 minutes of extra time in the second half.
Okay.
Because people were just rolling around in serious pain.
Yeah.
Constantly. There was a GIF, I believe they're called, where it was Ovechkin standing on the bench, and a puck hits him in the face, and he doesn't even, like, he doesn't even make a face. It just hits him in the face, and he keeps doing what he was doing, and they juxtapose that to a soccer player who was touched in the arm and falls flailing to the ground, holding on to his leg. I understand diving in the NBA. I don't understand diving every 3 minutes. You saw the one where the guy got tapped on the back and then went down.
Oh, right. Sure. I mean, it's something that it's so comical. And it's a stereotype that I can't believe that people don't get, how people don't get absolutely disgusted with some of these players. There's guys who are just experts at doing it. They do it over and over and over again. And it, now, what is the deal? If they bust you for, like, embellishing, is that a red card? Like, are you, or is that a yellow card?
I've never seen one where other people would know more than
I. No, I mean, do you get, what I'm saying is, do you get, well, you just brought it up. I mean, do you get penalized for faking it?
I don't know.
Who cares?
I don't know.
Now let's get to a serious issue. Dan, hello.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, so, Freddie T, just wanted to know if we could get the deets on what happened with the raccoon on Friday.
All right. So, late in the show, a police officer in Newton had heard that we were talking about it, and he and another police officer came over and got the raccoons out of there, and now I'm told to put bricks up. I have to put bricks on top of the of the trash.
Yeah, so they don't open it up and fall on in anymore. Yeah, it was two of them, right?
There was only one in the morning, and then another one got in there.
A love den.
So maybe they were procreating. But people kept sending me videos of raccoons, and one of them, which I guess is famous from Barstool, the raccoon gets onto the bird feeder, like, climbs onto the bird feeder with its hands, then lays back on the bird feeder and turns it so all the seed comes out so you can jump down and eat the seed. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, yep. I mean, all I saw were videos of raccoons attacking people.
Yes, they do attack. And if you saw the, and I really don't want to give this away because it's a few minutes of a 4-hour-long movie, but if you saw The Incredibles 2, there's a battle with a raccoon.
I did see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
took the kids a couple weekends ago.
Went to
ago.
The bathroom 5 times during that one. I just sat there.
A little bit of a slow start.
Yeah. Just looking at the watch, and I kept looking and on the phone to see how long the running time was, to see if I could find a site that said it was less than two plus hours. Into no luck.
It's like $180 million opening weekend. I think it's the highest grossing animated movie.
Got my money.
This weekend. Yeah. I know. It was the people are, the amount of money that thing made is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's absolutely ridiculous how long it is. Oh, boy. You thought it was too long, didn't you?
Yes. I did.
No cartoon.
Kids loved it, so... Afternoon well spent, but it just very slow start. It took, I don't know, 45 minutes to really get going.
Ooh, I debate that.
You think it's longer?
I'd say it's over an hour to get going. I would debate that to you every day.
Yeah.
They really should be something where they will only make animated films for children that are 90 minutes. You could have easily cut a half an hour out of that film.
Yeah, I would think at least a half an hour out of the beginning portion of it. Yes.
How long is it?
2 hours and some odd minutes.
Oh, it's over 2 hours?
I actually didn't realize it was over 2 hours.
Wow.
But,
okay. You didn't?
No. It was just long. All I knew was it was long. I didn't look at it.
Yeah. If you're bringing your kids to a cartoon, it can't be over 2 hours. I mean, that's you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's tough enough when you see like one of these Marvel movies. It's like 2.5 hours. I mean, that's
I think they tried to make enough. They put enough in there to try and attract the adults and say, hey, you know, it's for the whole family. And
well,
say,
nah, Pixar, yeah.
It didn't
yeah.
work very
no,
well.
Not really. There's nothing in there for me. Nothing in there for me. Now, you're right. At the end, the action.
The action was good.
And you're like, okay, here
yeah,
we go.
Once it got rolling, it started rolling well.
A little battle scene, yeah. And you say, all right, yeah. Now you got my attention, yep. But it only took you an hour and 45 minutes to get here. I saw that movie, Tag. Very productive day off on Friday. The first time I've ever taken a day off to just stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
I took the kids the last day of school, ripped it up with the trainer, put up about 400 pounds. Then I saw that movie, Tag.
Was it good? I know someone who saw it.
It was all right. What'd your friend say?
They said it was better than all right. They said, yeah, it was pretty good. You know, it wasn't anything like a glowing recommendation, but they said it was, you know, it was good.
If Jeremy Renner wasn't in it and they had cast someone else, it would have been a lot better. I cannot stand Jeremy Renner.
He's not a comedic actor?
No.
Okay.
Not funny at all in it. They have Hannibal Buress, who's very funny. They have Jake Johnson, who I don't have to tell you any more about. Right there, his name stands alone.
I like Isla Fisher. She's in it.
Isla Fisher, isn't it? She's good. John Hamm is very good. Ed Helms, whatever. But it should have been better. It should have been better. But they couldn't get it to go.
At least you're not waking up with a headache. Like, I watched the finale of Westworld last night, and it's just like, I mean, it's like doing math. It's kind of the point where that show, it's like, remember the end? Did you see in the Matrix movies?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember, like, everything's going fine in the Matrix, and the first one was fine, and then there goes the second one, and there's that big speech by Colonel Sanders.
Yeah,
and that's where everything just kind of goes in a different direction.
The architect goes nuts,
and you're like,
yeah.
What the hell just happened
here?
And
then you have to go rewatch it, and you're like,
I was enjoying myself
it.
Until I realized I had to do math.
I know.
And that's what Westworld has become. It's like, I mean, I thought it was just going to be about robots shooting humans, and it is all this weird metaphysical, are we alive, are we not, and your head's just spinning.
Yeah, a lot of people dropping out on that show.
Yeah, it's testing my patience. It's truly testing my patience.
Well, from what I read.
But I'm two seasons in, and it's almost like, can you drop out after two seasons?
Sure you can. Why can't you?
I might.
Shows I have.
I can't think of a show. Well, I did
Game of Thrones.
I did Game of Thrones for a season and a half. So yeah, maybe you can.
Not me.
Game of Thrones season and a half.
All of those seasons are good, man. I loved them.
Well, as I said, I started watching the last season without having any idea what was going on. It was excellent.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's a little lull early in the third season, but then there's the Red Wedding and it all takes off. Yeah. It's fantastic.
That sounds super fun. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Hanley Ramirez, is he down with the drugs or not? We've got a little bit more of an answer over what was a wild weekend involving his involvement with all sorts of illegal activities.
Miss something?
You know what that means.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Mankind became stupider.
Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Some people have some explaining to do.
They do, but first, how about the Red Sox finally helping out Chris Sale for once?
Slam him! And there we go! I don't mean to do a big sandwich for the other slammy!
On to the batter's eye for his 11th home run of the season. Moreland with a two-run shot. And it was a shot. So the Sox lead it 5-0 on the power by Mitch Moreland.
That is Nesson with special guest Fred Toucher in the booth. Sale goes 7.
That's all I do. I just shot him down. I'd shoot him down.
Well, Sale
shot him down every time.
Just take down their stupid broadcast. Sale goes 7 scoreless with just 4 hits and 1 walk in the Sox's dominant 5-0 win over the Mariners. One of the rare appearances by Sale lately where the bats woke up. Moreland hit himself a dinger or a salami, as Fred would say, while Chris Sale struck out 13 at the plate.
1-2. Looking down the barrel of his 13th strikeout today. This crowd very appreciative of his mastery. Got him! He struck him out at 100 miles an hour. He struck out 3 more in the inning. He has 13. Sailing indeed. Red Sox on top, 5-0. Chris Sale, just brilliant.
I think I read this morning that at this point last year, he's pitched 20 less innings. So
it matters. Only 93 pitches. They got him out of there. He's throwing 100 miles an hour in the 7th inning.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, his history is he fades in September, but you like what you see so far. He's still got that arm strength. Yes, they're managing him much better this year.
Right. And with the Yankees dropping the last three in a row, the Red Sox are now once again tied for first. Here is Chris Sale afterwards.
I think just getting back into a little bit better rhythm. I've been saying kind of the same thing over the last handful of starts. And just feeling good and getting into that tempo and getting back into a little bit better rhythm than I have been to start the year. So put a lot of work into it. So I'm glad where we're at.
There are kids running all around.
That was Pedroia answering questions. But, but the real Red Sox buzz this weekend wasn't about anyone in the current lineup. It was a story that there have been whispers about for weeks. First time I heard about it was randomly during the show. I think I heard James Stewart say something on like Wednesday about it.
Yeah.
It was very random. Like he threw something out about there might be some news coming out about Hanley Ramirez. But I guess this has kind of been bandied about for weeks now, and that was that Hanley Ramirez, after being released by the Sox several weeks ago, was involved in an ongoing federal and state investigation related to a large drug trafficking conspiracy. So this all started being reported, I guess, traditionally on Friday with Michelle McPhee, who I have no idea who she works for now. Anybody? Because I know that for
ABC
a while,
News, I think that's what I've seen attached to her name.
But I know that she has. I don't know who she works
right now,
for now.
I don't know.
But she was the first.
Big box. Shake it hard.
That's right. Well, she was the first to report this on
Friday. Shake it till it stops making noise.
You can't really do that. According to McPhee, a recent stop by police discovered a significant amount of drugs in a suspect's car. The suspect told the officers that one of the items found in his vehicle belonged to Hanley Ramirez. He then made a FaceTime phone call to Ramirez in front of police during the stop, which, of course, is always great if you're the other guy at the end of the FaceTime call. You look up and it's in a pull over with the cops there.
What could go wrong?
Well, I'll tell you what. FaceTime is just going to be the death of someone because, I mean, think about what happened with Terry Rozier over the weekend with Danny Ainge getting a FaceTime call. I mean, that could have gone wrong a thousand different ways.
I heard about that Rozier's thing, if we can take a quick left here.
Sure.
So did how did it all pan out?
Okay, like, so here's how it all happened. It was about 5 minutes before the Celtics were to make their pick. Terry Rozier was doing one of these kind of live video streams with a couple of guys from Bleacher Report.
Celtics were about to be on the clock.
Yeah, okay. It was there about 5 minutes away. The Sixers had not yet picked. And so the guys from Bleacher Report said, okay, before the pick is announced, Terry, do you have a guess? And he goes, I don't know. And he was just, kind of messing around. He goes, maybe I'll just call Danny and ask him. And they kind of started laughing. And he goes, I'm going to do it. And he pulled out his phone. And he dialed Danny Ainge, and sure enough, Danny Ainge answered on FaceTime. And now, Danny Ainge had no idea what was going on at the time.
Okay, so the consensus is he didn't know this was going to happen.
Yeah, even Danny Ainge said he had no idea. And also, think about it this way. I mean, do you think Danny Ainge would have agreed to do something for Bleacher Report with, like, 2 to 3 minutes before the pick is supposed to be made?
Considering I have no idea how to find Bleacher Report, I would imagine.
I was saying the same thing about Bleacher Report. It's like, I know that they've been around forever, and we've had a couple of the writers up. What the hell is Bleacher Report?
I honestly think it's like the Huffington Post. It's just random people that
anyone could write for it. Yeah. And so they had these three guys on there, and he goes, yeah, we're, you know, we're picking what's his name,
Bob Williams.
We're picking Bob Williams. We're more than likely going to pick Bob Williams. We're still waiting on some medical stuff. And Terry Rozier goes, okay, and hangs up, and he goes, all right, I'm writing down Bob Williams. And everyone laughs. Danny Ainge asked about it afterwards, and he said, I had no idea that I was being broadcast anywhere, but yeah, that's how it goes. So, I mean, that could have gone bad a couple of ways. He could have said something about, we're not quite sure about him medically. I mean, he could have leaked out something that wasn't very flattering about Bob Williams. Who knows?
Plus, it's wildly illegal.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. We were talking about that. And so, if you're Danny Ainge, you can't be too happy about all that. So now you got somebody saying that at a stop where you're getting busted for drugs, this guy just calls Hanley Ramirez and shows it to the police and goes, hey, look, it's Hanley's face. Get me out of this. But there is by the way, the Red Sox denied knowing anything about that after that first report came out. But then a twist yesterday, and this is the Boston Globe yesterday, who had not reported anything about it. It sounded like they wanted to find out the full story before they ran with it. And sure enough, they're reporting that this drug guy was just a friend of Hanley's and dropped his name in an effort to avoid arrest while transporting fentanyl from New York to Massachusetts in April, and then immediately admitted that apparently Hanley had no connection with the drugs. They also reported that Ramirez is not under any federal investigation, has not been linked to any drug ring. So this is kind of how it all went down, according to the Globe. They said the man told the trooper that he was traveling to Boston to see a friend who's a professional baseball player. Now, the document doesn't say Hanley Ramirez by name, but multiple people, according to the Globe, including the attorney for this guy, said he was referring to Hanley Ramirez. He consented to the search of his Jeep. When the trooper asked to open a brown cardboard box found in the rear cargo area, the guy said no, saying that it belonged to Hanley Ramirez. The man claimed that the box contained books and that Ramirez's mother had shipped the box to him in New York to hand deliver to his friend Hanley Ramirez. So in an attempt to back up the story, the guy called Hanley on FaceTime on his cell phone and then handed it to the trooper. So the cop is holding the phone looking at Hanley Ramirez right now. And he asked Hanley if he was aware that his friend was en route to visit him and was delivering a box from his mother. Ramirez said, I don't know what he's talking about, according to the affidavit. And the trooper asked if he could open the box. And Ramirez said, yeah, sure. They opened it up and the box contained a gift bag with 2 kilograms of fentanyl inside, according to this affidavit. So the man was arrested on drug trafficking charges and immediately began stating that his friend Hanley was not involved at all and that the box wasn't for him because he knew he'd probably be in really big trouble. So the man's attorney asked that he not be named because of concerns it would identify his client. And basically he said that he was using his name and just to try to get out of any kind of charges that would be put against him using Hanley Ramirez's name. So, of course, now Hanley's people are pissed that there was a report that insinuated that he was involved in any sort of illegal shenanigans. And he tweeted last night, quote, the reporting on Hanley's involvement in this matter were reckless and responsible. It's unfortunate that one careless, inaccurate story can generate such widespread negative and damaging coverage. Hanley is pleased to be absolved from wrongdoing and having any involvement in the matter.
Yeah, so, he didn't seem overly concerned, Hanley Ramirez, over the last week or so when this was a story. He didn't seem like he was...
As he said, I mean...
There were just pictures of him, like, hanging out. Like, he didn't seem, you know, to have gone into hiding or something like that.
Now, all that being said, okay, so even if he wasn't involved in any of it, doesn't the timing of when the Red Sox released him and this being right after when this incident happened... Isn't that kind of weird?
They designated him for assignment, what, a month ago?
Yeah, well, according to Michelle McPhee, like, this thing happened. What's the exact date where he was pulled over? I know it was in April.
Yeah.
Okay, and he was, when did the Hanley Ramirez thing with the Red Sox happen? It was like...
About a month ago. They designated May him for 25th. Assignment, yeah, a month ago, and then they released him June 1st.
Okay. Just seems a little odd. Didn't it? Well, the whole thing seemed odd anyway. The Hanley Ramirez, you know, when they designated for assignment, that seemed odd in the first place. And I know there were all these baseball reasons, things they threw out there.
Sure.
And a lot of people who know way more about how money's moved around and stuff like that told me that it all made sense. But this just was a little bit of a, maybe they just kind of figured, even though he's not quite involved technically, maybe we want to get rid of him now before we find out there might be more to the story than we actually know.
All right.
It's kind of seemed that way.
Rich, what else do we have coming up?
Julian Edelman is fighting for his time back on the field, and the Bruins, believe it or not, did some stuff this weekend, and actually there's a big name that right now is somewhat linked to the Bruins, and it sounds like there might be mutual interest.
All right, here are the headlines. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, while Tom Brady was dancing at U2 with his hands over his head.
What is wrong with him?
Man of the people, Fred.
He is just such a nerd.
That's the word I was just about to use. It's just him being a nerd. Just and by the way, that might be that song and this one. Those might be the only two U2 songs you recognized on Thursday night. I went to the show and it was a U2 fans U2 show. But if you went there for the first time as a U2 fan and paid $350 to go get a seat, and you sat there and you didn't hear "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For," and you didn't hear "With or Without You," and you didn't hear "Where the Streets Have No Name," you're probably like, what did I do?
They got rid of the Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree, not one song from the Joshua Tree.
Because they had just gone out and played the Joshua Tree.
Understood, right? But still, I mean, those are their biggest hits are like on that album. Now, for me, it was amazing because I've seen them like 15 times. But I mean... That was, I'm looking around, I'm thinking of Tom Brady, probably just a guy, hey, you too. He probably knew those two songs and that's it.
And like now, is there footage of him like dancing
It's from his Instagram page. You can't really see because it's kind of dark.
Okay, so that's even nerdier. So he not only did he sing along like that, he deliberately taped himself and then put it up on Instagram?
Yeah, that's, I'm assuming that's kind of the shtees, yeah.
So why?
He had a good time. He's just like you. He's just like you and me.
No. I would not, literally not tape myself. And then I wouldn't, no, have I sang along at a concert for brief periods of time? I have.
Sure.
But I don't know if when the last time I felt the euphoria of being, lifted into the chorus.
Oh, I'm a nerd, kind of like Tom Brady. It's a bunch of concerts, but I also don't videotape myself and put it online.
Or first
I did
of all,
night.
Why don't you just enjoy it? Like, if you're enjoying yourself, why do you have to tape it? Like, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
And like, when are you going to look back and go, oh, wow, he did. He put his face in it.
like a lot of awkward white dancing.
If you're, but seriously, if you're enjoying a moment that much, why do you tape yourself?
Well,
just enjoy it.
That's the whole conundrum of going to concerts nowadays, is that when you go to a show, more people are watching the show through their phones and videotaping it than just standing there and enjoying what's happening.
Because
honestly, how often, if you do go to a concert and you record something, do you go home and watch that video?
That was a point I was just about to make. Never.
Yeah.
Because I got news for you. Just about any band that you're going to go out and see has a home video of a concert, or you can go on YouTube.
Sure.
Like what do you need? Proof? Save the ticket. I can't fathom. Like, okay, this is my favorite song. Here, I'm going to film myself, dork.
I mean, it is kind of great. Like, that's one thing. It just brings you back to who Tom Brady, like, truly is. Like, he's nerdy.
Yeah, he's a huge nerd.
Right. He's like a nerd, and he's got, like, you know, he's been put through the supermodel car wash with his wife. But moments like that, I actually find somewhat appealing because it's kind of pure Tom Brady.
Yeah. He goes down the water slide, and he goes,
like, that's something I actually kind of like.
They put him out there in Brazil where he sticks out like a sore thumb.
Dance with his hands over his head.
Yeah.
He's kind of nerdy in that aspect. So that I actually found that somewhat appealing. Well, is like, all right, well, this is who Tom Brady is.
Guerrero, you couldn't see him, but he was working on his leg at the time.
Well, I mean, you can hear it. He's hitting him in just the right spot. Well, while he was doing that and dancing around, Julian Edelman was preparing to appeal his 4-game drug suspension, which is going to be heard today. And according to sources, he is going all in on the NFL's handling of the case. There's a lot of stuff, interesting stuff that came out of this. I know Burt Beer's been talking about this for a while. But apparently, you know, he's got the 4-game suspension for violating the league's performance-enhancing drug policy. But as Burt and the MMQB said a couple days later, the substance for which Edelman tested positive wasn't one of the league's the things that they test, that they recognize as something you can test positive for or something that's punishable. So that remains one of the two major issues at the heart of his appeal. The second one involves the mishandling of the documentation and delivery of Edelman's test results. They're saying that during the course of an investigation, they learned that the NFL made mistakes in the manner in which the test results were handled. And Edelman is arguing that the mishandling of the evidence is one of the reasons that he should be exonerated. Didn't Sherman get off for that reason? Was it Richard Sherman? Am I getting the player wrong?
No, Sherman won, what is it, 2012?
All I know is if Edelman wins this, Tom Brady's going to have something to say about it.
Lord.
So, yeah, it's Ola there, Tom. And on top of that, I don't know if you, after something like that, you got to follow Tom Brady on Instagram. And there was a video of him just showing you that, listen, me and my boy, we're working out. We're throwing the ball.
Yeah, I did see that.
But did you see how it started with, like, the scene from Tom versus Time where he's getting, like, a rubdown? Like, he had to throw in some Guerrero stuff, too?
Well, because Guerrero probably, again, was, like, in his sweatshorts. just hiding out.
Just hanging around. Well, either way, this should be interesting. It sounds to me, I mean, if that's the case, if it's not a substance where it's not listed that you can test positive for, and they apparently mishandled it, he's not going to be suspended.
Well, either one is good enough. I mean, hopefully he convinces them on both. But again, doesn't Roger Goodell make the final decision here? Isn't he the guy who makes the final decision?
So you think it's going to be another us against the world type situation?
Well, I really hope so.
Let's hope this appeal goes.
Let's go through another 6 months of that.
Long time.
Yeah. I want all the documents. I want everything.
Well, it'll keep Hurley employed, if nothing else.
Well, Tom can hear Hurley right now. He hears Hurley getting excited.
I guess so. So there you go. We'll find out more information about all that. That to me sounds like that's something that's going to be dropped. I just have a feeling that.
You never know, though. That's the thing. With the league, you never know.
All right. Well, it looks like the Bruins lost out on the Ilya Kovalchuk sweepstakes.
Lost out in that they got
they weren't gonna pay
exceptionally
ridiculous.
Lucky.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Kovalchuk is 35, and he wanted 3 years.
Yeah,
he got 3 years.
I
know that's the point.
But at least Back has played in the league.
Yeah.
Like, Kovalchuk is against everything this team wants to do. You mean a 35-year-old guy from the KHL hasn't played in the National Hockey League in, I guess...
Five years in Russia.
Now, granted, his last year in Russia, he scored a lot of goals. Congratulations.
Against a competition that's not as good as the league he's stepping back into.
Now, not every year in the KHL was outstanding, and the Bruins dodged a bullet. If you got him for a year...
Sure.
Would you have gone to...
Two for shorter money. No, I mean, the kind of money that the Kings paid was like 18.7 or something like that for three years.
Two for 17. No. I'm not two for 17. Two for 12.
Nope. No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't have felt as bad, but...
I know. I wouldn't sign him for 2 years. That every time they do something like that, it ends up backfiring on him. Every time they get... They sign some guy in his 30s, mid-30s, it seems to bite him on the ass. That's like a Chiarelli decision. That's, you know, paying your fourth line money and getting them all locked up.
I mean, you could kind of see where they were coming from. I mean, because Backes has not been anything close to what they wanted, they are in desperate need of another top forward.
I can see that, but then I would look at the Backes signing and I would go,
Backes signing's been a disaster.
And then
so
I would say, this is eerily similar to the Backes signing. Perhaps we could work something else out.
Well,
Rich has information on something that could be worked out, which is exciting.
All of this silence, people are speculating, could be that the team is preparing to make a move for John Tavares. Now, according to, this was from Arthur Staple, who is the Isles writer for The Athletic. They said the Tavares list just got finalized about teams that he would go to. And they says Leafs, Sharks, Stars are in, as mentioned a couple days ago. But I believe the Bruins are in as well. Canadians in Vegas not on the list as of now. And the Isles will, of course, be able to see what they could do. But there you go. So the Bruins, one of the teams on the list that John Tavares would agree to go to. So that's a guy.
27-year-old center coming off one of the best years of his career. I think he had 37 goals last
year. I don't know how
you
juggle the math with that, but if you can get Tavares later.
No, you get the player and then you worry about it afterwards.
Oh, absolutely.
Tavares, now, the contract he's going to get, I mean, John Carlson just got, 8 years at $64 million from Washington as a defenseman. As I said, Tavares is 27. You got to figure 8 years, $80 million at least.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably right. So he scored 37 goals last season.
All right, the Islanders have offered $11 million. That's where you start.
Okay, they offered $11 million. And what's the years?
It's got to be at least eight. Has to be.
It's a lot of money.
Well,
it's a lot of money.
This is a guy in the prime of his career who's just coming off of an 80-90 point season?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to do it. You're going to do it with
Tavares.
It's not
as though, and by the way, it's not like that last season was his only season that he's been that good.
No, he's a top 10 talent in the NHL.
Yep. Nine seasons, he scored 272 goals, 349 assists. I mean, the dude's a machine. So, that's right now. It sounds like the Bruins are one of the teams they want to talk to.
Yeah, interesting how that math works, but it would be good to see. Sean, go ahead.
Oh, Fred, thank you so much. You touched upon the group of people who I probably hate most in this world, more than you hate Grateful Dead fans. I cannot stand people who videotape themselves at a concert. I have a friend who goes to God knows how many Dave Matthews Band concerts, and he has to post, double-digit videos of him watching this. And I'm sorry, every single time, let's just say I was to actually take the time and watch your stupid video, I'm not going to hear music. All I'm going to hear is, I'm not going to hear music, and every single time I see this, I just feel like calling. I'm friends with him. Every single time I see this, I feel like calling him and just saying, "Guess what? You're going to die alone because no one likes people who does this."
You know, that's only acceptable if someone gets lit on fire. There's something like the drum riser collapses or something, and then you can get that tape of it, try to sell it to DMZ. But
And I'm sorry, every single time I search YouTube for, live videos of songs, live videos of songs, I'm not looking for stupid concert-goers video. I want to see an actual...
Professional.
...of a DVD. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you want to see something that was recorded through the mixing board. Right, so you can actually hear the sound.
I don't want to see something recorded to the mixing board of your awesome iPhone 7. We're all going to hear is...
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
it's a pretty good representation of the sound.
It is. I mean, Tom Brady had to tape himself. He had to let everyone know that he was having a good time. He's not like a robot.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he is.
Of course.
Okay, we will be back in just a moment.
Thatcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Thatcher and Rich. And again, Tom Brady... he's one of these people that have obviously taped themselves at a show just to show that they're having, you know, the time of their lives. And there are, and everyone has a friend on Facebook or someone that they follow on Instagram or whatever. It just is generally probably not a Twitter thing. But I have someone... I have a lot of people that do this, and I've befriended quite a few of them.
Uh-huh.
Seven-year-old, mom, did you start out as an egg? Me, yes. Seven-year-old, that was a very long time ago. You must have been a black and white egg.
I don't even know what's going on there. So it's like a fake conversation that he had?
It's a conversation with their child, okay. Apparently.
All right. That's
yeah, that's something that, and there's quite a few women that do that. They think you're going to be delighted by the conversation that they have between their significant others. This girl, all this woman puts up is conversations with her child, and it's quite annoying. But are there people in your lives that put up like legit everything they do?
They're the overposter. They're the person who like. They either put something on Facebook or, I wouldn't even say Twitter, this is mostly a Facebook thing.
Or Instagram.
Facebook or Instagram, if they post more than like 3 to 4 things a day, I think there should be a rule that the minute you're out of college, you should be arrested if you post more than one thing a day. Is there anything that's like that's worth posting? Is there anything in anyone's life that's worth posting more than once a day?
No, there's nothing that your kids are doing that is that exciting.
Like what? You know what the best is? Is when some people will take a group of photos that are almost all exactly the same. They're just slightly from a different angle, and then put them all on Facebook. It'll be like an album of 25 pictures, where if you scroll through, literally you could have picked one of the best 25, and the same message would have been sent. Like, here's me from this angle. They'll just, like, put a group and go, bloop, put them all up. That way you can just see, you know, you can pick your favorite if you want to.
Yeah, and then, it's like plus 45 pictures
right?
And you see them.
It's like, all right, why don't you just pick one?
Yeah, or you know what? Don't put anything up. Don't just, you know, once a year.
Sure.
Pop some, hey, my kid's still alive.
Even if you use Facebook, and there's an excuse that a lot of people use, and I actually understand this. To show your family in different parts of the country what you're doing. There's still no excuse for posting more than once a day. You're not doing anything that's more important that you can't encapsulate in one post.
By the way, we know a girl that I'm friends with on Facebook that has a running countdown to a vacation. Would anyone care to guess what the vacation is? It's a running countdown to a vacation.
Oh, it's a carnival cruise or
it
something.
It is a carnival cruise. It just might as well be, like, just say, loser. If you want to go on a carnival cruise, fine. Don't have a 20... It started at 30 days. It's like... Wow! What an adventure. You're going on a carnival cruise. Where does it stop? Fort Lauderdale? Mm-hmm. Congratulate. Hopefully you don't get... Ebola from being on that stupid boat.
Yeah, the overposter is somebody that I don't have any tolerance for anymore. I now like unfriend people and I mute somebody. It's like something that I just, if I'm finding out that you are what you had for breakfast and what you had for dinner, because there's people who take pictures of the food still. I thought that was something we all knew was not cool. You don't take pictures of your meal, especially if it's not something like over the top ridiculous.
No, and you don't put a dialogue between you and your kid. It's like kids say the darndest things. It's just stupid. All right, 617-779-0985. This is to be something in someone's life.
Do you have a...